from the Kingdom of Nine. You're hearing Dreamland with Art Bell. To participate in the program, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It certainly is. Dreamland underway for a Sunday evening. I'm Art Bell. Oh, it's a busy night. All right, to Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Linda Howe mentioned in her piece the rising sun.
Yes, and that caught my attention because that's a symbol that I have been very familiar with for a long time, and the implications of the rising sun are horrendous. Because we can take that all the way back, as I said before, much of the symbolism goes back into the ancient and prehistoric world. I don't believe there's ever been a symbol used more frequently and more widely used than that of the rising sun.
But it would make sense. I mean, early man, Jordan, would have, worshipped the sun, would
Absolutely.
Have looked at the sun as one of the biggest things in his world.
Absolutely. And the sun represented life, it represented warmth and light on the earth, and life, L-I-F-E, life on the earth. But it also is a very important symbol in the occult societies of Freemasonry. For instance, the communist symbols that are used during the Communist Party in Soviet Union. The Soviet National Coat of Arms used the rising sun. The Nazi symbol of the swastika was the sun in motion. If you go through a flag book, Flags of the World and Halotry, you will find the sun in its rising as a symbol that is used by almost every culture in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's a very important symbol. And as you say, it's because the sun was so important to ancient man. But I'm saying that there is another significant connection can be made to that rising sun symbol in that it represents spiritual and intellectual enlightenment. And consequently, it was used as a symbol in the illuminated societies, or even the Bavarian Illuminati used the rising sun to symbolize the coming of an age of enlightenment that would be dominated by the different various societies.
Well, enlighten me a little. What is the Illuminati?
Well, there were many different Illuminatis as such. The Jesuits were referred to as Illuminati. The Bavarian Illuminati, of which has been fairly well talked about in political circles, was a Southern German, the order of Freemasons, who infiltrated into the Grand Lodge of England and had for a time great sway as if it were a secret society within a society. Freemasonry was already well in existence in England and in Europe, and in 1717 is when it was founded. And in 1775, 74, 75, and 76, the Bavarian Illuminati, which was a hybrid occult order, insinuated itself and moved into and joined itself to the Grand Lodge of England, and became very powerful in its ability to manipulate Masonic government edicts and education, etc. And so the influence of secret societies, as I said, on government has been an issue which people have been looking at for some time. I particularly believe that the governments of the world today are in fact being very heavily influenced and manipulated by fraternal orders, secret societies. A classic example of the kind of thing I'm talking about is you go to any good university and there's going to be things which are called Greek letter societies. Physicians have their own fraternal orders. Attorneys have their fraternal orders. Politics has its own. And so I believe that so much of what we see happening in our country, and I'm mostly concerned with our country, that so much of our politics, our religion, our social institutions are being directed behind the scenes by
secret societies.
Yeah, by secret societies, fraternal orders, even those societies which are semi-secret and supposedly open for review. I believe that, for instance, behind what we call Scottish and York Rite, I believe is a higher degree of Freemasonry, and consequently I find no fault with the Freemason next door, but I do believe that behind British Freemasonry is a higher form of occult Freemasonry. And so I'm very concerned about the influence that secret societies, fraternal orders have on us.
You know, Jordan, let me say something, and maybe you can come back at me in some way. I am not a great believer in conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the world today, to imagine that a single entity of any sort or a single secret society or even a group of them are in charge is to me ludicrous, because, Jordan, there is so much disorder in the world, and I mean disorder, that it's hard to imagine there's any central control. How do you refute that?
Well, I don't. I'm not saying that there is one all-encompassing society.
Or even many.
Or even many. But I do, if you will recall, Freemasonry, the Grand Lodge Freemasonry, that which we call the Scottish Rite Freemasonry, has a symbol on their lodges, Ordo ab Chao, order out of chaos. And the idea is that with the influence of powerful forces behind the scene, you can bring order out of the chaos that we see. We know, for instance, that much of the crime is that we have in the streets and the crime that we have in this country is organized. It is, we even have a term, organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't find that it's, I mean, I believe that most of what we see happening in our world today, wars and the revolutions and the bloodshed and all the anarchy going on, I believe someone is causing it. I do not subscribe to the theory that things just happen, because I know better. I know that in big business and big money and big government, things don't just happen. And
so the wars we've had, the great social disruptions that we've had, these have been orchestrated, planned.
I think so, yes. I think that for the most part they have been. They have been heavily influenced. And even the organizationally accepted reference books and history books will talk about the conspiratorial apparatus going on in Germany and in England. And we have such things as Byzantine conspiracies. And we know that there has been this kind of thing going on. I mean, why would there in law enforcement today in this country, federal, state, and local, why do they have divisions called the Criminal Conspiracies Divisions if there isn't such a thing as a criminal conspiracy? And then
Wait a minute, Jordan. Why would a Criminal Conspiracies Division imply that that group themselves was a criminal conspiracy? In other words, they are organized to try and find criminal conspiracies, and it doesn't take too much imagination to know that criminals conspire.
Well, then you've just answered what I said. That I'm not saying that the entire world is in the hands of one group or one group of societies, but I'm saying that the concept of a criminal conspiracy is something that we have always dealt with. There have always been brotherhoods and secret societies and fraternal orders, the assassins and the religious orders. We know that these things go on throughout the world. They always have. I'm just saying that it's logical to me that if there are many other smaller societies manipulating or causing chaos or causing disruption, why couldn't there be an organized effort on the part of very powerful people who have the money and the background and the experience to frighten people into doing things that they would not ordinarily do by
creating. We know
Hitler did that.
Then the next logical question is, to what end? In other words, what motivation or what motive do these people have?
Well, I think that they have various motives at different times in history. We know that Adolf Hitler used chaos in the streets and bloodshed to frighten the people. I believe that this is my opinion. I believe that our government has purposely allowed, according to a plan, violence to go on, allowed terrorism to go on. And when people are found guilty of terrorist acts, murder, in fact, that they are eventually allowed to go back on the streets, and we know that that is true, that we do put many criminals back on the streets because we just don't have room for them. However, if you don't pay your income taxes, they will find room for you, and they will put you in jail. But
That's
they
true.
Allow murderers back on the street.
That's true.
And it is my opinion that the reason why they allow murderers back on the street is because there is a very small percentage of 1% in the population of this country who are desperate murderers and rapists and killers.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think, Jordan, the statistics show that about 7% of the criminals commit some incredible percentage of the violent crime that goes on. In other words, it's a very small nucleus of very recidivistic criminals.
Yes, yes. And if you were to take them out of society, and of course the powers that be, we're talking about law enforcement and government, pretty well know with the high technology we have today, they pretty well know who they are and most usually know where they are. Now, if they wanted to take them out of society and therefore take out this threat of violence and rape and mayhem, they could do it. And this government is the most powerful entity on earth. And if they chose to take someone out of service, they could do it very easily. They got a hold of Adolf Hitler on the field of battle throughout the world 60 years ago when they were a lot less sophisticated than they are now. They were able to get a hold on the great evil empire of the Soviet Union. This country is able to get a hold on anybody at any time they please. They will send in the military and bring you back to this country any time they please. They are this government that we live under is a very powerful entity. Consequently, if the violence continues, if the lawlessness continues, the drugs are coming in by the boatfuls, it's because someone, I believe, is looking the other way purposely. And I would go a step further and say that there is influence in our government to allow this kind of crime to go on because it's good for politics.
And
I have heard judges talk about this.
Yes, and you think that influence would be the secret societies?
Yes, because I know that, for instance, a classic example is that the Mafia itself is a Masonic order. It was founded by Giuseppe Mazzini and Garibaldi of Italy, both high-degree Freemasons. And so much of the underworld is a Masonic order. They use Masonic symbolism. It's a fascinating story when you get behind all of these different societies and criminal societies.
And what about all the good the Masons do?
Well, I'm not talking about the guy that lives next door to you. I'm not talking about the people who live down the street.
The local lodges.
Yeah, the local lodges. I'm talking about occult Freemasonry, those societies within societies. As I said, the Grand Lodge era... the Grand Lodge of England was founded in 1717, but in 1775, Illuminati Freemasonic, the Illuministic Freemasons moved into Freemasonry and began using it.
All right. How does all of this, or even the higher realms of the Freemasons, connect to anything beyond the human race?
Well, if we go back to the building of the pyramid, the whole idea of being a Freemason comes from the word Masonic or Mason, and we know that that word is used in relation to anyone who builds with bricks. And if you go back to Egypt, all of these symbols and emblems that are used in modern-day Masonry go back to Egypt because they were the great builders of temples and pyramids with brick. And, of course, there were other great temples before Egypt, but the symbolism is primarily Egyptian today.
Huh.
And they were the great brick builders. And so, consequently, today when you go to college or high school and you graduate, you get a degree and you come out with a square mortarboard. The square mortarboard that you wear when you graduate comes from the mortarboard that brick masons or plasterers and brick masons use in building with plaster and cement and bricks. So that when you were even, you know, using those symbols in education, in university. The symbolism is just profound once you get into it and see how all of these things have come down to us.
The presumption being that mankind could not have, with technology at the time, built the pyramids. Hence, it was extraterrestrial technology that gave the otherwise earthly Masons the ability to put all this together. Is that about right?
I tend to find that that's probably about right, in my opinion. I think that the people who built the pyramid, the peoples who built that pyramid, if they were people at all, had cosmic companionship in their work. I mean, they said they did. All of the ancient cults and societies all the way back to Babylon. I have always talked about the influence of the gods on their, you know, on their work.
And if, that secrets then were imparted that the Masons or Masonry today retains?
Yes, yes. And I think that that is quite true. And even the architecture today, which is used, architects will tell you that there is, you know, going back to the Middle Ages, there were the trades, the architectural trades, and they were called Masonic orders. And from that, we get our modern-day unions and the idea of protecting the crafts. They call it craft masonry. We have something called statecraft.
There is a new hotel in Las Vegas that is definitely a pyramid. I wonder
yes.
if the Masons had anything to do with that.
Well, I shouldn't be a bit surprised.
All right, I want you to hold on for a second. I want to get the numbers out. We're about to open up the lines when we come back from the bottom of the hour break. So if you would like to call us, here are the phone numbers. First-time callers at area code 702-727-1222. I feel like I ought to set up a line for Masons, past a certain degree. Wildcard lines, area code 702-727-1295. Toll free, west of the Rockies, 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. My guest is Jordan Maxwell. We're talking about ancient symbols and groups and mythology, and we'll be right back.